for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2021 Lake Hamilton Bible Camp February virtual Zoom meeting. Deborah Vales is hosting this meeting with Lake Hamilton Bible Camp Director Mira Miller. This is Saturday evening, February the 20th, 2021. This is an online Zoom meeting. Jean Williams is teaching first. Her subject is Recognizing Spiritual Warfare. Next is Colonel Williams. His subject is Talking to the Dead.
All power and glory was given to him, and all authority was given to him. And he gave us authority to use his name, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to comfort the brokenhearted, to deal with those people who need his help. In the name of Jesus. Now I ask the Holy Spirit, come and fall on every one of us tonight. Let the word that is spoken just go deep into our hearts, deep into our hearts. Give us a word tonight that we need to hear. Holy Spirit, work in us. Guide us, keep us, watch over us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Let us pray. Abba Father, in the name of Yeshua, HaMashiach, Son of the Living God, we ask you to establish a perimeter of your love and protection around us and around this service. Baccarat 2 and 5, a wall of fire, fire in the spiritual realm on the services, and all our loved ones and all our possessions, including our homes, our computers, our phone lines, our gas lines, our water pipes, our sewer pipes, and electrical lines in the name of Jesus. We ask that no demonic bondage, door, portion, demonic entity, portal, astral projection, or any disembodied spirit may enter our space within 100 yards in each direction.
Thank you.
We ask that any demons that are there or should try to come immediately to hinder this service be rendered deaf, dumb, and blind, and that you will strip them of all their weapons, illusions, armor, power, and authority, and that you will bind them and rebuke them and disable them from communicating or interacting anywhere. Father, we ask you to remove them away from us in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask this, Holy Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Once again, it's a blessing to be here tonight. I want to share with you another teaching that I believe is timing for the hour that we're in. The title of my message is Recognizing Spiritual Warfare. Recognizing Spiritual Warfare. I looked up the word warfare in the dictionary. And it says, engagement in or the activities involved in war or conflict. We know many of us going through warfare, conflicts all around us.
Yeah.
The more I study God's word, I find myself more courageous and empowered when it comes to spiritual warfare. I now realize the enemy should be afraid of me, and not the other way around.
That's right.
And when we begin to acknowledge that, we begin to recognize that God has given us the power and authority to war in the spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not wrestling against each other, but against the principalities and against the powers of darkness. The forces of darkness do not wait for us to be ready for their attacks. They are ruthless, determined, and cunning. The devil could not care less if we are prepared or prayed up. One thing I have learned, when the military is getting ready for war, they don't start preparing when the war starts. They are planning way ahead before the battle comes. Their training is intense, and they are equipped for the fight. We should have the same mindset, be ready, equipped for the battle. The enemy will love nothing more than to fill our minds with discouragement and defeat. Although attacks will come, we don't have to let the enemy win. The enemy may come, but he don't have to win the battle. God reminds us in his word to stay aware of Satan's schemes, his plots, his plans. Warfare is learning how to defend ourselves. So we must engage in learning how to do spiritual warfare. The Bible says in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 8. That's 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. So I looked up the word vigilant. It means alertly, watchful, especially to avoid danger. The word devour means to prey on, to use up or destroy as if by consume. Let me read that again. The word vigilant means alertly, watchful, especially to avoid danger. The word devour means to prey on, to use up, or destroy as if by consume. Let me just make myself clear. If you are a Christian, you are target. If you are a Christian, you are target.
That's right. That's right.
The enemy would love for you to ignore his plans to destroy you. We must come to reality that spiritual warfare is real. But there is no need to fear, because God has equipped us with every weapon necessary for vicious living in Christ. Jesus himself told us that we will experience trouble. And John, the 16th chapter, verse 33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That is a powerful scripture. He has already done it. He has given us the tools for it. We know this can be true, although many times we may not fully know who are or what's behind the struggles. We can assure that God equips us for the battle, and he instructs us to be alert. Let me say this. Spiritual warfare is not giving the devil more or focusing too much on his evil ways. That's not what we're saying here. Warfare is making ourselves more attentive to what God is doing and remembering to stand firm and let him fight our battles. There is power through his spirit. There is power in his word. There is power in prayer. And we can be confident that he is always with us, leading our way and covering us with his word. So how do you know you're in spiritual warfare? Let's talk about a few things. Number one, sudden troubles, losses, and trials. That's sudden troubles, losses, and trials. This is an attack that Satan often brings against believers. It seems to come out of nowhere. All of a sudden, you are hit with something. And it's just one thing after another. It is hard to even see straight. You feel your life is suddenly spinning out of control. All these things are happening at once. I have experienced every last one of these things that I'm getting ready to talk about tonight. And yes, I am mad with the devil and I'm ready to fight. And we should be mad at the enemy because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
But we got to learn how to fight. We got to learn how to battle because the enemy is at work 24/7, every day, every minute, every hour. The Bible says in Revelation, the 2nd chapter, verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But thy faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Oh, yeah.
God would never allow the enemy to have full control. He doesn't have the final say over our lives. We may have battles and attacks in this world, but we can trust our mighty God to be our shepherd through it all. He made this promise. He gave us this promise. Number two, physical attacks, illness, life-threatening loss. That's physical attacks, illness, life-threatening loss. The enemy wants nothing more than to steal, kill, and destroy you. And it talks about that in John 10:10. Our lives are in God's hand. The devil is a thief. He's a roaring lion and he preys on God's people. He desires to silence our voices. Many of us may have experienced near death, experienced sudden and terrible illness. But let me share this before I go to the next scripture. And I don't know if I talked about this last time we was on Zoom, but all of a sudden I got hit with an illness. I couldn't get out of bed. All the muscles and bones in my body shut down. I went to several doctors, maybe 3 or 4 doctors. Nobody seems to know what is going on. They did a full bone scan and it came out clear. That's when I knew that I was under spiritual warfare and it was time to go and fight. But I sit here tonight to tell you, I am free in Jesus' name. I feel,
yes.
Give God the praise.
Yes.
It's not going to stop attacking us. And this is why we got to get radical when it comes to the enemy.
That's right.
Amen. In the book of Daniel, it talked about Daniel faced lions in the lion's den. That was in chapter 6. And you can read that story in your own time if you don't already know the story. His attackers thought he was gone, and I'm sure he did too, by morning, but God intervened and shut the mouth of the lion.
Yeah.
God is still shutting mouths today.
Yeah.
He's still shutting the mouths of the lion.
That's right.
Stop with Daniel. He's still shutting mouths. Hallelujah. If you're facing attacks and you feel your life has been threatening, our God is a miracle worker. He is the deliverer. He knows all things.
That's
and
right.
He's capable of handling your enemy.
That's Amen. Right.
The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, verse 17, that our times are in his hand. So why should you die before your time? If it's not your time to go, you are not going nowhere. Your time is in God's timing. Number three, temptations and luring towards sin are making wrong choices. Let me repeat that. Temptations and luring towards sin are making wrong choices. So what am I saying here tonight? The enemy, all of a sudden, you start having all these lustful thoughts or sinful ways and you find yourself going another way and you don't understand what is happening. You're making the wrong choices and you just don't understand. past relationships all of a sudden coming up. You can't seem to shake this person. You know you was through with that person all of a sudden. The enemy come in trying to bring distractions and bring confusion. These are attacks of the enemy. We live with daily struggles and temptations all around us. Many times there are spiritual attacks on our lives that put us at a greater risk to go astray. But we must understand who is at work. It's the enemy at work. He desires not only to bring us down, but also all those around us, including our families, our friends, our co-workers, whoever's in the circle. He loves to see news stories flash across the headlines of believers who have fallen. He glorifies in that, who have made terrible choices of sin. He loves disunity among Christians, and not only that, of families. I have seen so many families that have been just torn. They not speaking to each other. Nobody don't want to talk to each other. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, it's the way that the enemy has attacked the families. He loves disunity among Christians. He attacking the Christians. He keeping all kind of confusion within this church. He causing all kind of problems. You got to know, who are you fighting and what you are fighting? You got to understand what you are up against. He wants nothing more than to break up, again, families and every relationship we hold dear to our hearts. Jesus himself is our greatest example of this when he faced the devil temptation in the wilderness. And you can read that in your own time. I read a little bit in Matthew's, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 11, where it talks about Jesus was fasting, he was hungry, he was in physical weakness and tired. And of course, the enemy jumped on that time to bring on the temptation to a greater degree than ever. And he's still doing that today. If he tried Jesus, who you think we are?
Yeah.
One slip up is all he was looking for. One slip up is all he's looking for within us. One wrong move. That's all he needs. But Jesus stood strong and resisted his attacks. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 13. That's 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 13. Though he has no temptation taken you, but such as in common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What is this scripture saying? He has given you a way of an escape, and that escape is through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Number four, here's another attack. Strong feelings of overwhelming despair, darkness, and fear. Strong feelings of overwhelming despair, darkness, and fear. Many of you may be struggling with anxiety and fear at times. Many may be facing depression and mood disorder or mental illness. But let me stop right there. If there is anybody contemplating or have been contemplating on suicide, I break that off of you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You should not die, but live to declare the glory of the Lord.
That's
in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yeah.
But often the attacks of spiritual forces against our lives causes you to feel alone and completely overwhelmed and stuck in deep fear and despair. The times that we living in, this speaks for itself. A lot of people are feeling alone. Despair, fear, don't know what to do. And as I spoke to you earlier this morning, God may be silent, but he's still listening in his own timing. This is where Satan will lead some to even contemplate taking their lives or making choices they never would have thought they will make. He will have you making choices you never thought you would have made. Some of you have gotten into relationships that you have never thought that you would have gotten into. You end up looking, where do you come from? How did I get into this? This is how the enemy works. He comes in quickly. That's why we got to understand his tactics. We got to understand what we're dealing with, how he works, that there is hope in Jesus Christ. He is the one who can take us out of darkness. He is the one who can calm all our fears. The Bible says in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, we're talking about Elijah now. Elijah the prophet was a great man of God. He resisted those who stood against God and false idols. He was a hero, respected and honored. And yet, after such great victory and success, he faced extreme warfare. He ran for his life in fear. Despair and darkness had gripped his life, and he couldn't even think straight. He seems that he'd forgotten everything God had done on behalf of his people. But God came to him right where he was. He provided for him. He took care of him. He strengthened him. And guess what? God is doing the same thing for us today. He gave great mercy and grace to him. And he's giving grace to you today, so you don't have to be alone. And he does the same for us every day. If you find yourself running scared or stuck in despair, stop long enough to think things through, who you're really running from. Don't buy into the enemies. It's time for you to take authority over spiritual warfare, over your life, over your health, even your cars, and yes, even your pets. It's time for you to take authority over everything, because the enemy is in his with. The Bible said in Matthew 11, chapter verse 28, come unto me all ye that are labor and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. The scriptures give us all that we need. But it's time for us to not just read the word, but apply the word to every situation and circumstances of our lives. The word got to come alive. The word got to be real. I'm reminded by David when he said he had to encourage himself. It's time that we're not able to call our pastor or call someone to pray for us. We got to take out our sword and take out the word of God and encourage ourselves sometimes. Number five, confusion, feelings of condemnation and guilt, dulled spiritual. Let me repeat that. Confusion, feelings of condemnation and guilt, dulled and spiritual. This attack can be subtle and can happen slowly over time. A slow, constant pull away from God's truth will leave you feeling confused, irritated, conflicted, and facing feelings of guilt and condemnation that you just can't seem to shake off. You find yourself can't read the word. The word has gotten away from you. It's hard to get back into your studies. You once was a person who read all the time. You seek God daily, and all of a sudden you don't have that desire anymore. You don't have desire to even praise him and worship him. It's hard to get back to that place of worship. You'll find yourself in despair. And when you begin to find yourself in that mode, you know that you are under spiritual war. You're under spiritual attack. You lost your desire to even to press in to pray. You can't even pray. You can't get a prayer through. You're out of fellowship with believers, somehow believing the lie you can do this thing all on your own. You don't need nobody. The enemy wants you to think that you're all alone, that you can do this. You don't need no help. You don't need God's help. You got this. You feel a dark cloud of confusion. All of a sudden, you're confused in your mind. You find yourself dazed and confused and can't think and don't understand what is going on. You find yourself forgetting things. And yes, we're getting older, as they say, and sometimes you do forget. But I'm not getting older, and I'm not forgetting. So you got to watch what you say. Remember what the words say. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Whatever you say, that's what you become. So we're in this time where we got to speak positive, and we got to speak life into our situation. You feel a dark cloud of confusion and guilt that follows you around and won't go away. and you're wondering, what is wrong? Why do I feel this way? All of a sudden, I don't have the desire to do anything. I don't have the desire to even clean house anymore. I don't desire to even take a bath. I don't desire to even get in the car and go to work. These things suddenly come upon you, and you're wondering, why are you up under these attacks? This when you go back and examine your situation and see what is happening to you. Bitterness begins to set in. All of a sudden, you're bitter. You're mad. You're even mad at God. You're mad at everybody. You're mad at this person. You hating this person all of a sudden. But God reminds us in his word in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse 33. He is not the author of confusion, but of peace. He tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those that who are in Christ Jesus. God equips us with strength, wisdom, and discernment through his own spirit to stay strong in the battle. He gives us the strength, the power to stay strong in this battle. He invites us to spend time in his presence, through prayer and worship, pressing into his word, knowing him more. This must make us strong. This must give us the power, the strength, the authority. When we spend time with him, he desires that. He yearns for that. He wants your love. He wants your attention. He wants your time. This is what strengthens you. As we grow to know God's truth more and more, we understand what truth is and what is false. God wants you to be equipped tonight. Don't want you to allow the enemy to walk all over you. So I felt like this teaching tonight, we might sometime get a little sluggish and get a little, you know, out of order sometime, where we forget who we are, whose we are in Jesus, that we have the power, that we have the authority. So sometimes we have to be reminded who we are. So let me give you some scriptures also to add with this. So if the enemy comes in, you will have scriptures to pull out and fight. The first one is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it talks about, "For you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." These are scriptures that would keep you. The next one is Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 26. That's Romans 8, 26. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 11. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 18. That's Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 18. James, the 5th chapter, verse 16. That's James 5, 16. James, the 4th chapter, verse 7. James, the 4th chapter, verse 7. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 5, talks about casting down imaginations. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, talks about the word of God is quick and powerful. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 15. I think this one was 1 Chronicles. I didn't put 2 Chronicles, but try 1 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, verse 22. Psalms 22. Psalms the 22nd chapter, verse 3. Psalms the 22nd chapter, verse 3. Psalms the 24th chapter, verse 8. Romans the 16th chapter, verse 20. That's Romans the 16th chapter, verse 20. Jeremiah the 51st chapter, verse 20. Jeremiah the 51st chapter, verse 20. Colossians the 2nd chapter, verse 15. And the last one is 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 4. That was 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 4. And before my husband get ready to come on, I just want to say a prayer over you before I release it over to him. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for your sons and daughters tonight. I ask, Lord, that you go before them and make the crooked places straight. Lord, wherever they are lacking, Lord God, in spiritual warfare, I ask that you equip them tonight. Give them, Lord, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding to know how to fight the enemy when he comes in, God, like a flood. Lord, I ask that you give them wisdom. I ask that you raise up a banner for them, Lord God. I ask that you strengthen them where they're weak, Lord God. Teach them how to fight. Teach them how to war, Lord God. I ask that you visit them tonight when deep sleep come upon them and show them the things to come. I ask that, Lord God, that you anoint them for such a time as this, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you continue to hold them up in these times, Lord God. And I ask that, Lord God, that you will show yourself mightily, Lord, through your word, through your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give God the praise. Stretch for a minute before the next word comes. Take a minute or two or stretch yourself.
She wants the Colossians scripture. What was that? Scripture on the book of Colossians.
The second chapter, verse 15.
It's the second chapter,
verse 15
of the book of Colossians.
Mm-hmm.
Second chapter.
Verse 15.
All right. I know many of you were blessed by that word. I was blessed also.
Yeah.
And let's continue on. Father God, Abba Father, I ask that you'll give me the wisdom, give me the knowledge and the revelation. You will empower me, Lord, to be activated even in the midst of your people. And I pray that the word will bless them, Lord. It will bless them to the fullest. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to thank Director Merrill and the staff for just blessing my wife and I. Give us this time to speak on Zoom. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me okay, everyone?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. Let's get started. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. I'm going to recite the scriptures maybe two or three times so you can get them. That's 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. The Bible says, "But he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil. Takes his character from the devil one, for the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning." Okay. Can you hold 1 second? Honey, come here a minute. We have a problem with the computer here. We have a little warfare. That's no problem.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. Please be patient with me. We see a disconnect here with our computer.
With things, yeah.
Take the time to restore. You don't want to restore. You want to take the time.
Take the time. Okay. Oh, where did it go there?
Where did this go?
Where did it go?
Take the time. Okay. I apologize. The computer told me to pick a time. It wanted to do some updates and downloads, and I said tomorrow.
Of course.
Okay. All right. Once again, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 of the Amplified, the Bible says, "But he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was manifested, visible, was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil." Now, this is a blessing here. The reason Jesus Christ was manifested, that he might destroy. The Greek word luo means to destroy. It means to unloosen. It means to undo. As believers, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, we're supposed to pattern our lives after Jesus Christ. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ," in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. "Pattern yourselves after me, follow my example as I imitate and follow Christ the Messiah." So it's every believer's job to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. It's every believer's job, the Greek word luo. Now, turn with me, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 11. Once again, that's the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 11. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, that we are to expose the work of darkness. We are to do what? We are to expose the works of darkness. Let me go ahead and read that scripture to you. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness, but instead let your life be so in contrast as to expose, and reprove and convict them. So as believers, we are to do what? Expose the works of what? Of darkness. Now, many of you are familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And many churches wrestle not. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, I'm reading from the Amplified, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. So from 1 John 3:8, we are supposed to destroy the works of the devil, which is an apostolic commission. Ephesians 5:11, we are supposed to expose the works of the powers of darkness. We're supposed to expose that. Ephesians 6:12, we should not have that quote on our lives. We wrestle not, but wrestling against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. I want to talk to you tonight, and this was on my heart to bring. I want to talk to you tonight about this, about talking to the dead. Let me say that again. I want to talk to you tonight about talking to the dead. And in talking to the dead, many believers are having visitations from the dead in their dreams. Now, this is a very touchy subject. I'm very sensitive. I have lost family members. That's a very sensitive area, a very touchy area to even talk about. And I know many of you have lost loved ones and have lost family members. But there is an adversary, there is a devil who's an adversary to our soul. When we're grieving, he tries to come in and masquerade himself as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. Now, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, please. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. Jane, would you read that for me? Do you have it? You haven't got that yet? Okay. Well, okay. I won't wait till you get there. Okay.
Colossians, what is it again?
Okay, I'll be reading for me. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. In verse 5, it says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. And they have no more reward here, for the memory of them is forgotten." Now look at verse 6. "Their love and their hatred and their envy have already perished.
Yes.
Neither have they any more a share in anything that is done under the sun." Now let me make myself clear again. I have lost loved ones. And I'm very sensitive and I'm very loving and heartfelt to those who have lost loved ones. But what we're doing in Ephesians 5:11, we are exposing the works of darkness. We're exposing the powers of darkness in the area of talking to the dead and visitations of our dead loved ones through our dream. In the Wycliffe Bible, in Ephesians 9, correction, in the Wycliffe Bible of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, "But they that live know that they shall die, but the dead men know nothing more. Now they have need further, for their mind is given to forgetting. For they who live at least know that they shall die, but the dead shall know nothing, nor have any further reward, when the memory of them is forgotten." Now, in the contemporary English version, it says, "We know that we will die, but the dead know not a thing." In other words, they don't know nothing. That once they pass on, that's it. They have no memory. Nothing good will happen to them. They are gone and forgotten. Okay, look at the World English Bible. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know not anything. Neither do they have any more reward, for their memory is forgotten. I'm going to read from the Voice Bible translation. It says, at least the living know they will die. The dead know anything. No future. No reward awaiting them in the grave. And one day they will be completely forgotten. Now, we see here from those translations that once a loving person passes on, that they know not anything, neither do they have a memory of anything. There's an elderly woman whom I've loved, and I respected this woman. She was about 85 years old. I loved her and respected her so dear. She came to me and told me one time, she said, Brother Kerner, she said, I had a dream that I'm going to a place of nothing. I'm going to a place where there's nothing but voidness, V-O-I-D, void. And not too long after she gave me that dream, she passed on to be with the Lord. And I remember about 6 months before she passed to go be with the Lord, the Holy Spirit gave me a dream. And in the dream, I saw her and three other elderly women with long white robes. And they were singing a heavenly song that I never heard like on earth before. But to my left was these golden stairs that went straight up into the heavenly. And in the dream, I walked up to her, and these are the exact words that she said to me. She said, go back, Brother Kerner. Your time is not yet. So I woke up that morning, and I said, I told my wife, I said, I had a dream of Miss Morris passing and going home to be with the Lord, but she told me to go back because my time is not yet. She was a godly woman. She was a very respected woman. And not one time did I ever hear a family member say that she appeared in the bedroom, or she appeared in the kitchen, or she appeared in the living room, or not one time did I ever hear the family say that she always come and visits them in their dream. Now, as I said before, this may be very touchy for some, but please forgive me. Please forgive me. If you're sensitive in that area, I mean no harm. But this message also applies to myself. Millions have been documented worldwide, and even in America, who have had communication with the dead, talk to the dead, or have communicated with the dead, or been visited by the dead in dreams and even in vision. Now, I'm going to say this to many of you viewers. Many of you, I sense, have had visitations of the dead in your dreams. As I said before, this is a very touchy subject here. Talking to the dead in their dreams, even believers have had visitations of dead family members or deceased family members and even friends. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 and hold. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 of the Amplified, the Bible says to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and his intentions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 of the King James Version Bible, the translation reads, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, that word devices mean noma in the Greek, and noma means we are not ignorant of Satan's perception. We are not ignorant of his evil purposes as believers. We are not ignorant of his intellect. We are not ignorant of his disposition. We are not ignorant of his devices. And I was amazed to see this word. We're not ignorant of his mind because we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Who reveals to us all things. Now, getting back to the subject. I want to talk to you about necromancy. Necromancy. Necromancy is spelled N-E-C-R-O-M-A-N-C-Y. Necromancy. Necromancy is a forbidden occult practice. A forbidden occult practice. And necromancy deals with communicating with the dead or talking to the dead. Communication with the dead in dreams also applies to that. Continuous talking to deceased people in dreams. You talk to the average person right now. They will tell you, I've talked to my deceased loved ones in my dreams many, many times. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, that we must not be ignorant of Satan's what? Of Satan's devices.
Yeah.
Let me give you another definition. In the Oxford Dictionary, the word necromancy is the supposed practice of communication. The supposed practice of communication or talking with the dead, especially in order to predict the future. Now, there are people who try to use crystal balls. There are people who use necromancy, seances, conjure up the dead and communicate with the so-called professed spirits of the dead. And there are people who tarot card readers. There are bones. They use bones in some other European and Asian countries as the form of not only divination, but necromancy to call up the spirits of these supposedly dead or deceased people. Now, in order to predict the future carries the terminology necromancy. It is also connected with divination, divining the future. But it is basically connected with the occult. So in other words, there is a connection between divination and necromancy. Now, in Acts chapter 16, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 16. Let's look at verses 16 and 18. The book of Acts chapter 16, verses 16 and 18. In verse 16, the Bible says, as we were on our way, the Amplified Bible, to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination. Now, the Greek word for divination also means python, which means a serpent, okay? Claiming to foretell future events and to discover hidden knowledge, and she brought her owners much gain by her fortune telling. Look at verse 17. She kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting loudly, these men are servants of the Most High God. They announce to you the way of salvation. Now look at verse 18. And she did this for many days. Then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out, turned and said to the spirit within her, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very moment. Notice the spirit of divination. She was prophesying from divination. There is a connection with divination and necromancy. There is connection with divination and necromancy with communication of the dead or demonic spirits that foretell or predict the future. In the Encyclopedia Britannica, it says necromancy is an occult practice that deals with the act of communication with the dead or talking to the dead. Another definition for talking to the dead is intercourse. The word intercourse means communication between persons or groups. So once again, according to the Britannica, necromancy is an occult practice. I remember when my wife and I were ministering in St. Elizabeth, Jamaica, and we were ministering to the people, and I was amazed at many people that we prayed for who by their own confession, began to tell us stories that they were having sex or having sexual intimacy with their deceased loved one. And let me say that again. By their own confession, they were telling my wife and I that they had been having sex with deceased loved one. In other words, evil spirits were shape-shifting as their deceased loved one. So I began to take out a pencil and paper, and I began to write. And they began to tell me stories. One lady, she was grieving. She prolonged grieving. She was grieving. She was in poverty. So she opened a portal for a deceased entity that, a deceased husband, or which was a demonic entity masquerading as her deceased husband, to come right through. She said her deceased husband would come in from 3 a.m. in the morning. She would smell a foul odor. He had the same voice patterns, the same dress code, his hair, the same mannerisms. And she said they would have sexual intimacy. And she said she enjoyed him coming around 3 a.m., between 3 a.m. and 6 in the morning. And she would tell us, not only her, but there were many others who would tell us that these entities that they were involved with was constantly telling them that they wanted them to come and go with them. And all the times I had been in deliverance ministry, for the first time, I never heard of demonic entities impersonating human beings and people communicating with them and talking with them and being intimate with these spirits. But that goes into another realm of incubus and succubus, sexual demons. It goes into another realm of shape-shifting. But any kind of communication with the dead can be a form of necromancy, which is an occult practice. Prolonged grieving of these women and men in Jamaica opened portals for masquerading spirits to impersonate their loved ones. We're in that time, thanks to God. It's not basically heard much in the news, on the news arena, or report arena. But there are demonic entities that are masquerading as angels of light. There are demonic entities that are impersonating human beings and deceased loved ones and having conversation. And people, believers especially, are having conversations with those entities because they are still under prolonged grieving. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at verses 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. Verse 13, for such men are false apostles. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Spurious counterfeits, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles, special messengers of Christ the Messiah. Now look at verse 14 closely. And it is no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Look what it says. Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Look at verse 15. So it's not surprising if his servants also masquerade as ministers of righteousness, but their end will correspond with their deed. Now let's look at verse 14 again, that the Bible says that Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. Now there's a Greek word for masquerade, and it's a long Greek word, which is meta amapizo. And what that means, that Satan can transform as an angel of light. That means that he can transfigure as an angel of light. That means that he can disguise himself. That demons, when they disguise themselves, that they can personate the dead or they can impersonate humans. That Greek word means masquerade. They can transfer. They can transfer self. Or they can what? They can also masquerade. We're in a time where there are masquerading spirits. We're in a time where there are familiar spirits which are infiltrating the dream realm, being lying and very deceptive. Many of you know the Word of God. The Word of God says in the book of Revelation chapter 12, he said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil have come down having great wrath because he knoweth his time is short. Now, someone wants me to go to that scripture. Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 12. Look at the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. It says, therefore be glad, O heavens, and you that dwell in them, for woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in fierce anger and fury, because he knows that he has only a short time left. Notice verse 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea. In other words, Satan's activities not only extend to the earth, but they extend to the waters. We are having a surge of marine spirits. We're having men, when you go to the Caribbean, they have much knowledge about marine demons or underwater satanic kingdoms or demonic kingdoms that are underwater. When we go to places like Bahamas or Jamaica, as we have done, or we go to Mexico, they are very familiar with underwater satanic kingdoms. Before I got an understanding of marine spirit, I only knew about Poseidon and Neptune and the Bermuda Triangle. And I'm even amazed now on the History Channel, they're finding now underwater cities. So we're in a time when the devil have come down having great wrath. He knows his time is short. He's even infiltrating the dream realm with lying, deceptive spirits. We are in a time we need to pray, 1 Corinthians 12, for the gift of discerning of spirits. We're in a time, Father, deposit that gift. Bring that gift to another level, another dimension of authority and power in my life. Father, bring strong sensitivity to the saints who are listening right now, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Many of you know someone who talked to the dead in their dreams. Necromancy. Many of you, the enemy is trying to play an end game with you by bringing forth deceased loved one and masquerading himself as what? As an angel of light. Turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Let's look at verse 31. The book of Leviticus chapter 19. Let's look at verse 31. The book of Leviticus chapter 19. Let's look at verse 31. In verse 31, it says, turn not to those mediums who have familiar spirits, or to wizards. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord. Now, look at that word familiar spirit. A familiar spirit in Hebrew, 178 of the Strong's Concordance, a familiar spirit also means necromancer. It means ghost. It also means the practice of necromancy, or one that has a familiar spirit. So there is a connection between a familiar spirit who can impersonate our loved ones, our deceased loved ones, because there are demonic spirits that has a hold on your family line, ancestrally, generationally. They have a hold. They're very knowledgeable of what's on your bloodline. But there is a connection here between a familiar spirit and a necromancer. Look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. Look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. The person who turns to those who have familiar spirits and to wizards, being unfaithful to Israel's maker, who is her husband, and playing the harlot after them, I will set my face against that person. I will cut him off from among his people, that he may not be included in atonement made for them. What do we have here? God's judgment on those who are necromancers, or those who are wizards, or those who entertain familiar spirits. I know a man who told me that his friend was killed in a car accident. And he said his friend comes and appears in his bedroom at times, sits on the side of the bed, and talk with him for hours. I told him that's not your friend. That is a demonic spirit. And you need to take authority over that situation and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We're in a time, saints of God, where there are masquerading spirits that, listen, Many of you know the word of God. The Bible said there will come a time when even the very elect of God will be deceived. What's coming upon this earth, even those that are elect of God, they're going to be deceived by what they're seeing. Masquerading spirits. They can impersonate dead relatives in dreams. Father, mother, sister, cousin, grandparent, neighbor. What are they after? If they are demonic impersonations and they are being deceptive, what are they after? They are trying to make a covenant of death with you. The devil always demands a price. Why are they taking time to visit you? What portal or what door have you opened for infiltration of demonic entities masquerading as loved ones? They are seeking a covenant of death. These masquerading spirits, familiar spirits, are infiltrating the dream realm to establish a soul tie covenant with you. Don't get me wrong, saints. I do have a heart. And I understand because I've lost many loved ones, but I've heard people say my mother appears to me in my dreams and she gives me directions. She gives me guidance. She comes to me all the time and tells me what to do. They come to establish a soul tie covenant. They come to establish a covenant with death through the sins of the fathers. In Lamentations chapter 5, verse 7, Lamentations chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, our fathers have sinned and are deceased, but we have borne their iniquities. We don't know what our ancestors, we don't know what door our deceased loved ones opened to the infiltration of masquerading spirits to appear in our dreams to communicate with us. They come to place a curse on you. Infiltration of demonic spirits, when they infiltrate the dreams, they want to set up a line of communication. They come to set a curse on you or bring an untimely death. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17. Please write that down. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17 says, why should you die before the time? Why should you die before the time? They come to open the portals when they visit you in the dream realm. They come to open demonic portals for sexual spirits, the spirit of incubus, the spirit of succubus, as was the situation in Jamaica. And as I said before, there were many who told me, who came into prayer line and said, I am still intimate with my deceased wife or deceased husband. They want to use divination to cause you to submit to their demonic guidance. Entertaining demons. They want to open a line of communication so they can interact with you. We need the gift of discerning of spirits. We need to pray for that gift of discerning of spirits, saints of God, because we're seeing things come upon this land, come upon the earth, that even the very elect may be also deceived. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28, the book of Isaiah chapter 28. Let's look at verses 18 and 19. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 18 and 19. And verse 18 says, and your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol, the place of the dead, shall not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you will be trodden down by it. Verse 19, as often as it passes through, the enemy's scourge will take you, for morning by morning, it will it pass through by day and by night, and it will be utter terror merely to hear and comprehend the report and message of it, but only hard treatment and dispersion will make you understand God's instruction. Now look at verse 18. It talks about a covenant of death being annulled. I want to say to many of the listeners out here, if you have made a habit or if you have been repetitious and talking to deceased loved ones in your dreams and visions, then you need to this night do away with that covenant of death that the enemy is trying to bring upon you. And let me say that again. They're coming to establish a soul tie covenant. They're coming to establish a death covenant with you. They're coming to place a curse of untimely death upon you. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17. They're coming to open portals up for sexual assignments, as was in Jamaica, incubus and succubus. They're coming to give you some divination to cause you to submit to their guidance and their instruction. entertaining them. They want an open line of communication to interact with you. Now, I feel in my heart, many of you are quiet because this is a very touchy subject, necromancy. It was very touchy for me because by my own confession, the enemy played games with me in the area of my dreams with deceased loved ones until I started annulling any covenant of death. I started taking authority over them. This is what I want to say to you because I want to bring you a warning of many of the enemy's deceptive practices. Another definition of necromancy is there is a word called daresh. It means to follow, pursue, to search, to seek, to ask questions, to worship. And the last definition is crying to the dead. There was a law enforcement officer in Georgia. She told me that she had a lover. And I asked her, why would you want to tell me about that? She said she was in intimacy and communication with a man that would only appear in her house or her home after 3 a.m. in the morning. She said he came through the walls and he would come through the walls and then he would come and begin to communicate with her and they would be intimately involved. I'm not making this up, saints. This woman not only was operating in necromancy, but there was a masquerading spirit, sexual entity that was abusing this woman's body. And she had, for the sake of me, to tell me that she enjoyed it. I told her that was a demonic entity and that spirit is trying to make a covenant of death. And if she doesn't repent and stop now, because God's hand is upon what she's doing. We're in a time, saints of God. We're in a time. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 4, verse 1.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.